Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Unbelievable. Nate Bucati threw a punch at Shane Mosley Jr. in the commercial break. We had to separate them. And so
he ducked it. Well, you know, he was ready for it. I was just glad he didn't hit me with a counter.
Thankfully, Cash was there to break everything up. And we didn't have anything else. Joe Kelly is going to be on the show at 9:30. Boy, hey, go to the gym. Work out for once, will you? We've got Matt Derrick live from Chiefs training camp.
That's a man who knows how to throw a punch or two.
That's exactly right.
He doesn't pull any punches when he's asking questions there.
That Nate Bucati started a fight with Shane Mosley Jr. in the commercial break, Matt Derrick. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Right?
I don't think I would do something like that. But
well, Matt Derrick.
Nate's a tough guy. He can take a punch.
He can.
Look, when you grow up in KCK, you got to learn a few strategies here and there. And one of them is you got to throw the first punch. You know, you can't wait to see if you're going to get hit first, right? You got to be on the attack.
Survival of the fittest.
That's what Matt is. Nate's always on the attack, Matt. You know, now, Matt, we didn't get a chance to talk about this last time you were on the show. Welcome to the Sports Radio 810 family, officially.
Yeah.
We're very excited about that.
Yeah.
Won't you tell us all you'll be doing with Sports Radio 810 WHB?
Yeah, we've got hopefully a lot of things lined up. Starting immediately, I've been writing some stuff for the 810 website. Began after the Bengals game last week. I'll have something up today. You'll see something from me 3 or 4 times a week on the 810 website. We'll be coming on with you. We're going to be partnering on some other things, too, down the road. We'll see what's up there. But, yeah, could not be more excited. I've been listening to 810 since the very beginnings. I was, gosh, like, very first year station was on the air, I was, for some reason, got one of the Arbitron surveys and filled that out.
You.
And I listened to the station all the time just to support sports radio in Kansas City. So, having been a listener for all these years and now officially be working with you guys, it's a tremendous honor.
It's very good, and you'll have tremendous content for us at 810WHB.com, just like you do at ChiefsDigest.com, so we're very excited about that.
You know, I've literally dreamed of this moment about Matt.
You know, Matt, you know, if you ever feel totally uncomfortable with his line of questioning, just let me – we have a safe word. It's Mahomes. You say Mahomes, and we can move on from
I told my kids their first day of school, if the teacher asks you a question you don't know the answer, just say Mahomes, and you'll probably get an A+.
I feel safe over, you know, I've got 45, actually probably close to 60 miles between me and Nate right now, so I can deal with that.
You can't escape my dreams, though, Matt. You can't escape my dreams.
In studio might be a little bit trickier.
All right, let me go through some of Matt Derrick's tweets live from Chiefs camp. First of all, what about a beautiful picture, fireside chat with the local beat writers on the final day of camp with Andy Reid, and everyone had beautiful Hawaiian shirts on. Could you please discuss this with us, Matt Derrick?
Yeah, that was the brainchild by Nate Taylor, the Athletic. He decided to get everybody organized. I unwisely said, hey, if you get, you know, Teicher and Blair Kirkhoff involved, I'll go along. I should have said, if you get Sam Mellinger involved, I'll go along, because Sam would have nothing to do with that, as you can tell by the picture.
Right.
He looks angry. Sam not terribly happy with the situation.
What do you think of Sam Mellinger's beard?
You know, it's weird, because, you know, he's I've always remembered him as just babyface Sam all these years.
His beard is weird.
You know, it looks a little bit like, you know, when you got somebody from New Kids on the Block that's trying to, you know, toughen up the image a little bit.
Sam
exactly
Mellinger is definitely boy band material. Yes.
That's exactly what he's trying to do.
And if Sam accidentally hears this, I'm definitely getting punched.
Oh, it's wonderful.
I mean it with love.
Sam can't throw a punch.
So let's get to what's happening at practice right now. Frank Clark and Sammy Watkins both out there for the start of practice. And as you described, it's a 10-10-10 day. But right now, going into the second preseason game, what injury concerns are there with the Chiefs?
No, really, as far as your top-line starters, not that many. Sammy Watkins had the illness yesterday. He also dinged up his hand a couple of days ago. But out here today, it is a light 10-10-10 practice, so whether he plays, maybe they give him some time off, you don't know, but it's nothing long term. Frank Clark doesn't seem long term either. He's had the sore wrist. He was also out ill a couple of days ago. He's out here today. He just hasn't been running with the ones, but other than that, I mean, this has been a relatively injury-free camp as far as your starters go. There's a couple of other guys you've lost that were competing for jobs, but this is probably the most injury-free camp that I remember in a long time. And you remember last year, good grief, they had so many injuries, especially at safety.
Mm-hmm.
They were coming in here scrambling, looking for some, you know, plan Bs and plan Cs. And right now, you've got a starting lineup that's intact. Everybody that we thought was going to be starting 3 weeks ago, they're still healthy and right there.
You know, sometimes I just throw stuff out there, and I forget that not everyone knows what the hell I'm talking about, which is often. Tell people, I keep saying a 10-10-10 practice. For people that don't know what we're talking about, explain what a 10-10-10 practice is, please.
Yeah, we do kind of always throw that out there, forget that not everybody knows what it is. Basically, the first team offense gets 10 plays to work on their installs and plays for them. They're going up against number two, number three defense. Then you flip. The number one defense gets to work against the backup offense, working on their schemes and coverages that they're putting in. And then you got a 10-minute special team period. It's rapid fast. They go through this a couple of times. And that's it for the practice. It's about 90 minutes, whereas, you know, typical practice might go 2 hours, 45 minutes. So it's lighter. There's no pads, nothing like that. You're just out there running around.
Do we hear some Snoop Dogg in the background there for a second?
Yeah, we are going old school today, and it has been awesome out here. Got no problems with that. And I'll tell you what, I'm actually looking out there right now. They're first team defense is working through their portion of the second part of the 10-10-10, and Frank Clark is out there right now. He was not out there the first time around, but he is out there right now with defense. So that's a good sign.
We have Matt Derrick from Chiefs Digest and Sports Radio 810 WHB on the line. All right, preseason game two against the Pittsburgh Steelers. What are some of the things that Mr. Matt Derrick will be looking closely at in preseason game number two?
I think the biggest thing you kind of want to start looking at is the defense. The first unit last week against Cincinnati didn't think was terribly sharp. Now, put an asterisk next to that because they didn't play some guys that were a little bit dinged up and resting them, and they took the starters out pretty quickly. So I'm not putting a whole lot of stock in it, but you do want to see this defense go out, and especially the first team go out and have a very strong performance. You know, they also want to see some things on special teams. They would love to get Mecole Hardman a punt return. Tried to get him one last week, but the Bengals punted away out of bounds against him. They want to see what they got there. They want to see him be able to go out under the lights and be able to catch the ball and secure it. They know he can run it. They just want to make sure that when there's traffic out there and there's guys coming at him, that they feel confident he's going to be able to put the ball away. Other than that, I mean, I think you're just trying to get out of there without any injuries. The offense, all teams last week looked really sharp. I think they feel pretty good where they're at. They're not going to show anything at this point. I think they're just hoping right now, let's get through these preseason games without any injuries on the offensive side and get going.
All right, Matt, I'll tell you, get your depth chart out before
I
ask you this question.
Oh, boy.
But look, this is what we got to talk about here. Are there any players that, I don't even know how you would describe it, big names, guys that maybe we assume that are going to be on the team that are actually battling for a roster spot, whether it's because there are some younger players that are excelling at training camp, or maybe look, defensive line, the Chiefs are stacked, and there's going to be some good players cut. But maybe some players that we might know or assume are going to be on the team that might be in an actual fight for a roster spot. What are some of the interesting battles you're looking at?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of different spots that are pretty deep, and there's some pretty tough competition. A wide receiver might be one of those because they've got – I think they might have 9 or 10 guys that could catch balls in this league this year, as wide receiver alone. Right now, I think if the season started, Marcus Kemp and Byron Pringle would have those last two spots. That would leave a guy like Gary Dieter on the outside looking in. He has been hurt, so maybe there's some options there.
IR candidate.
Exactly. You know, running back is, I think, going to be interesting because you got a lot of guys there. Moving Tre'Mond Smith over. You got five guys that can conceivably make this team, and I think that's one too many. So Damian Williams is safe. Darwin Thompson is safe. But, you know, Carlos Hyde, Tre'Mond Smith, could there be some competition there? Yeah, I think there could be. defensive line, you're definitely going to see them lose some guys in the waiver wire on the final weekend because there is just so much competition. Who it's going to be is kind of tough. I mean, you look at the rotations, and when you get down to the end of it, Xavier Williams, Justin Hamilton are probably at the bottom of that rotation right now. So maybe those are the guys that you're looking at. And, you know, I think Xavier Williams, that would be tough because he's a hometown guy. Justin Hamilton, you know, did some nice things for them last year. He's got a lot of upside still. Those are probably the positions that might have the most surprise moves. Tight end is going to be an interesting place, too, because they do have some players there. And it's just going to be a question of how many they keep. If they keep two, they keep three. You know, you've got Blake Bell, Deion Yelder. Nick Kaiser's a young guy really pushing for time. You know, it just depends on how many you keep there. And, you know, with Kelsey, you know, none of them are going to replace him. But it's a question of who can do the other things that they need. Demetrius Harris was a guy who played every single special team, and they relied on him for his blocking more than anything else. So they want one of these backup tight ends to be a superior blocker and somebody that can play every single team. Right now, that's kind of looked like Blake Bell, but they're trying to give Yelder and Kaiser a chance.
You know, Todd McShay was the sideline reporter for the game on Saturday, and the topic came up, what undrafted free agent has the best chance to make the team? And he said Jamal Custis. And then I was like, what have I missed? Because even, like, for the wide receivers, the guy that I like the most of the undrafted free agents has been Cody Thompson. But then I thought, you know, Mark Fields, he did mention Mark Fields. Mark Fields had a nice play or two on Saturday. But of the undrafted free agents, who would you say has the best shot at making the team?
Yeah, good question. You know, Cody Thompson is probably one of the offensive guys who's looked the best. And I think his problem there is just going to be numbers, whether he can fight through there. But is he going to be a practice squad candidate and maybe a guy who makes the roster at some point this season? He could. Yeah, Mark Fields, Herb Miller is a guy that gets overlooked quite a bit at cornerback. He's been running number two all along. I mean, he's been running ahead of Fields. So, you know, is it just simply that the Chiefs want to see what they got there? They're testing this guy. They're pushing him a little bit. Maybe they know a little bit more about Fields because he went to Clemson and, you know, big school guy. But as far as just, you know, on the field, I mean, Miller's been ahead of Fields all along. So I think he's got a shot too, especially since cornerback is a bit of a tangled position there. Custis, he gets a lot of attention because the Chiefs gave him the $100,000 signing bonus. That's kind of chump change for an NFL salary cap. It's not that big a deal. It's more reflective that there was just a lot of competition for him. But there have been a lot of other guys that have beaten Custis. And as far as the rotation goes, yeah, he's been down there as far as the undrafted receivers. Another guy, I think he's a little bit more outside, but Jody Fortson came out and, you know, he got some early reps in the first half at wide receiver. And those are the guys that got a chance. I mean, if you're an undrafted rookie and you're taking snaps in the first half with basically a number two offense, you got a chance.
I want to bring up something with you, Matt, that I mentioned to Steven and Stan Weber earlier. You've watched Juan Thornhill even more than me. And we all agree that he is destined to become a really, really good safety. But the thing that has stood out to me as much as anything in camp is his ability to keep up with these elite speed receivers that the Chiefs have in one-on-one pass coverage situations. He's played a little corner. Petro pointed out to me that Virginia has the number one rated corner in the country still on campus, and maybe part of the reason they put Thornhill at safety there was to get the most good defensive backs on the field that they could at a time. Is it possible that Juan Thornhill has a future as a corner, as a coverage guy, instead of just having him run around and play safety, if he really has the ability to keep up with receivers that are as fast as Tyreek Hill? And maybe for our listeners that haven't watched him on a daily basis, am I wrong about that, or has he not shown the best ability to keep up with these guys of any defensive back in Chiefs camp?
Well, you know, so much of that is about other things. At safety, you know, you're able to kind of keep up with guys a little bit because you're running alongside them. You're running, you know, perpendicular to them sometimes. And so you've got that ability to catch up, and that's what, you know, you, when you have that speed and you do have a quick first step and reaction at safety, it makes it easier to do that. At corner, you basically got to do those things, but you got to do them running backwards. You got to do them running sideways. And that's sometimes why guys make better safeties than they do corners. And it's definitely easier to go from corner to safety than it is to make that transition from safety to corner. Can he do it in a pinch? Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things they love about him is that he could go out there, and if you need him to defend the slot, line up there, play a little, you know, press man, I mean, he can do that. But I don't know if he's to the point where he could do that full-time. I think he's probably better suited at safety, which is why they like what they have with him there, which is that he can do that on a little bit of basis. And if a guy like Tyreek Hill is running downfield, he can catch up with him. But could he press, you know, Tyreek Hill at the line of scrimmage and keep up with him there? That's a more difficult thing to do.
Matt Derrick is our guest live from training camp. Last practice, Matt Derrick, can you believe that portion of the preseason's already over and we're getting closer and closer to some real football?
Yeah, I mean, it's getting real. Training camp is a lot of fun. It's a drain. It's a grind. So, you know, I think everybody here, players especially, coaches, are a little bit worn out. And it is great getting back to the facility. One of the things that's really tough next couple of weeks is that they get back more into their regular season routine. And they're doing afternoon practices. And standing out there and watching those for 2 hours and 40 minutes, it's a miracle if I can make it through every day.
Matt Derrick, you are a workhorse, Matt. Continue all of your tremendous efforts. And my final question for you, we're talking about the roster crunch and how there's going to be some good players that you have to let go of. With that knowledge, do you think the Chiefs have the luxury to keep three quarterbacks? Do you think they'll just keep Mahomes and Henny? Do they like Litton and or Sherman and or Shermer enough to try to keep three on the active roster? How do you think they're going to handle the quarterback depth chart? Because that is an extra roster spot if they decided to go with two that they could use on another deep, talented position.
Yeah, and until last year, they typically had kept three. It's kind of an Andy Reid thing. I think they have bought into the NFL standard that, you know, two is easier to keep and use that spot somewhere else. They have the luxury that I think they let both those guys, Litton and Shermer, they're comfortable with both of them. So you could, I mean, you know, remember last year they kept Matt McGloin on the 53 for the first cutdown. And then when Litton cleared waivers, they signed him. They could do something similar this year where you keep three at the beginning and you see if the other guy clears waivers, but they're comfortable with both of them. I think that there's definitely one of them will clear waivers and you can get them onto the practice squad. Three's all really you can keep. I mean, keeping four is tough. I mean, two on the practice squad or one on the practice squad. But I think they like both those guys. So if they only end up being able to keep one of them, I think they're okay with that.
Matt Derrick, go cover the rest of practice. We appreciate your time. And tell Todd Lebo to quit bossing me around, all right?
I can't tell him because he's bossing me around.
Wow, that's Well, you know, it's very believable, actually.
Yeah, predictable.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, guys.
That is Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com and 810WHB.com. Up next, a special message from Nate Bucati on Sports Radio 810WHB.
That's right. I do have a special message for you from my friends at Golden Oak Lending. Did you know the Federal Housing Authority has announced that beginning on September 1st, that's a half a month away, they are reducing the amount of cash out available in a refinance. That means less of your equity. I stress your equity that you've built up in your home will be available to you for home improvements after September 1st or debt consolidation. Any way you want to use your cash that you put into your home, you won't be able to get as much of that out after September 1st. And with rates now in the twos, you need to call Golden Oak Lending now before September to access the maximum amount of your home's equity. Look, I've gotten to know the folks at Golden Oak, and they have taken every step to make sure that you can handle the loan process the way you want to handle it, as conveniently and with all of the answers that you need as possible. If you want to do things online, quick, easy, find an answer. They've got a Zipline mortgage program that is so simple. All you have to do is go to goldenoaklending.com, and it'll take care of the whole situation for you, and you don't even really need that much information to get it done. I'm the type of person that likes to talk to somebody on the phone that will answer my questions because I have a lot of stupid questions. Well, you can call their Overland Park office at 913-890-GOLD. That's 890-G-O-L-D, and you'll talk to one of their certified senior loan officers. That's all they do is loans, so they know it like the back of their hand. They can answer all of your questions. Remember, it's your equity. It's your cash. So get the maximum while you still can, which is September 1st at Golden Oak Lending, NMLS 114937, JLB Corporation, a Kansas licensed mortgage company, MC 1766.